It's a kind of magic.
Let's go.
A kind of magic. One dream, one soul, one prize, one goal, one golden glance of what should be.
Let's hear you play.
It's a kind of magic. One shot of life that shows the way.
Yeah, definitely.
Folks, I'll tell you what, we were a quick change over there. We got on a wee bit of magic. I tell you, it's a magic weekend for a lot of clubs in Donegal. Namely, of course, Markovic winning the Camogie, Termon winning the senior ladies. We've got to mention Downing's, of course, junior championship. Unions making a county final. But most of all, I think the magic is in Dunloe. And the media champions, first time asking, of course, the men's team making the county final. What a weekend for them, Park.
The ladies winning and the men getting to a senior football final. It's just things of dreams. And look, Brennan, we're going to get into it, but what a morning to be waking up if you're a Dunloe supporter.
It's all going to be happening. We might take the show on the road next week, Park. We're going to have, there's only one place to go.
60 years ago, you know, it's going to be.
Just to clarify that, 60 years, there was a Ross's Rover team that did play after that, which would have been a lot of Dunloe players involved in the 1970s, but yeah. Last time in the final, hard to believe a club of that tradition. They've had so many good players over the years, players I've played with at county and that. But listen, they're there in merit. Before we get to that part, I just want to put a shout out. Last week we sneaked in the Warwickshire County Championship was being played. Roger Casements.
That's right. Yeah.
A good McCool's man, Sean Paul Houston's over there. Houston would have played with me at Harps back in the day. He, captain, of course, was, what do you see, Shanny Boyle, who's a Kilcare man, Jack
Kilcare, that's right, yeah.
Oshin and Michael Henney from Red Hughes and Dean Boner from Convoy. They're living at large now. It's a big session. My dad actually won that championship back.
Warwickshire,
back in
that's
the 70s with Sons of Erin, yeah.
And around Birmingham, that direction, isn't it? That's, around the Midlands.
That's yeah, Warwickshire, yeah. You know your stuff, Shakespeare. That's where I was born, actually, not far from Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah.
Your far
cry. You're a far cry Shakespeare now, let's be honest.
Here, there's one other wee shout out I have to give. There's certainly currently a kicking birthday party happening up in Lismonahan there in the Spy Lounge. Lucas Briney Devaney, six today.
Happy birthday, party. Lucas.
They're all partying up there. Save me some birthday cake. Trace has got the curry on, all the families up, and Matthew and Little Sennon and Baby Rain, they're all kicking it back. So keep me a bit of cake, guys.
He's got a final to prepare for.
Yeah, we're focused. Listen, coming up on the show in shortly, we're going to talk with Maureen O'Donnell. We're going to talk about those ladies' finals at the weekend and the winners of it and get her take on it all. Then we're going to switch it up into the senior semi-finals. We're going to be joined by Stephen Cassidy of Gadoor and Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News. Myself and Park will be shooting the breeze with the two guys, but first up, Mo is on the line there. How are you this evening, Mo?
Very good. Hey, listening to you two, sure. How would it be?
Yeah. We sometimes, Mo, the show starts very quick, hey, so we thought we'd put on a wee bit of Queen. Hey, and there you are. The Queen herself.
The Queen herself.
You're run out of time, hey, the amount of talking you do.
You want to see
My apologies. I told you last few weeks because Park was blabbering on a wee bit. Hey, on later on. Twice as Mo, you're coming in from the get go here because, of course, listen, it was finals weekend, Mo, and listen, number 10. Well, we start with the Termon ladies, who you all know well, and blitzkrieg again from them.
Yeah, first off, a cracking day of football in O'Donnell Park, and hats off to O'Donnell Park because the facilities there and everything, as you well know, Brendan, it was top class, and three big games in the pitch yesterday, and I have to stand up and say it was a fantastic day for the ladies. I thought that the crowds wouldn't be there because the men's game was on, obviously, but Dunloe pulled their game back a little bit. And to be fair to all the clubs, they were there and supporting and numbers yesterday. And it was really great to see all of the teams. Obviously, you had the Junior A final and the Intermediate final and the Senior final. And what I really, really picked up on most yesterday was that it doesn't really matter where you're winning the cup or what level you're winning the cup, be it Junior A, be it Intermediate, that cup and that one, just it meant so much to those clubs, and it was just fantastic to see all the little ones out there yesterday, all the kids out supporting, and And before the senior final, and I talk about it, the under-8s and the under-10s from both Mobile and Termin were there, and they did a Garda Honour out to the pitch for the two senior ladies coming out, and it was just absolutely fantastic to watch, and it got a lot of parents and a lot of people out supporting. And it's fantastic because, as I say, those are the stars of the future, and they're looking up to those senior players coming out onto the team. And, you know, just fair play to everybody who came out yesterday, and all the work and the effort that went into that, and the background, the volunteers, as you well know, it takes clubs of people to run those kind of events and run them well. And it was truly a real show yesterday in O'Donnell Park. And, I mean, it was a show on the field as well, so fair play to the players. Some cracking games, maybe a little bit one-sided from two of the games. We'll talk about the senior Termin running out. Huge winners there, 7-13. To Mobile, and no disrespect to Mobile, but they really tried their best out in the field there. And look, Termin are maybe a step above the rest at the minute, and they kind of sailed on from the first half. They were 14 points up going in at half time. You kind of knew it was over in that, and they tagged on maybe, you know, a lot of different, a lot more goals in the second half. But what really struck me this year about this Termin team is, you know, there's a great balance of experience and youth in there, Brendan, and Boric will back me up on this. And look, possibly 7-8 different scorers, which is great to see, because, you know, sometimes we rely too heavily maybe on Geraldine, but scores from all over the field, like from Evelyn McGinley and playing, and she marking Niamh Higgerty, Shannon McLaughlin tagging on scores, which she usually does. And, you know, then you have got like Kate McCafferty coming off the field, a young, very young, underage player, scoring a point. And then, so it's fantastic to see that.
Yeah.
You know,
and you know, you talked about, you know, Geraldine and Julie. I mean, it's very rarely you see two players contribute 5-8. I mean, it's phenomenal shooting. We talked about that Mobile defensive block there. Obviously, the pace and the give go with Termin, it's a different step up. It was always going to be hard to hold them. Well, was that just the game plan? It was going to be to try and hold them, but listen, there's just too much coming at you in terms of pace and ability.
Yeah, listen, I was talking to somebody about what Mobile may have done. Like, Mobile really had two options, I suppose, going into this game. Knowing how strong Termin were, you know, they could have set up camp 15 behind the ball. You would have seen that if you had seen Tara Higgerty maybe going on to mark Geraldine. But to be fair, they've put two players on Geraldine, the fullback Niamh Kavanagh and Aimeen Leach as well. And listen, you know, Geraldine always finds herself double marked. Tara Higgerty, the county player, Niamh Higgerty's sister, could very well have went in there. I think if they had done that, they were going to set up defensive for the day, park the bus, and maybe that would have cut out their opportunity to get in scores. But hats off to Mobile. You know, they went for it. They had nothing to lose. As Niamh Higgs says to me, the week before, they were going to go out. And you're as well losing by the scoreline that they did and losing by a point, because it makes no difference at the end of the day if you don't get the cup. So, you know, they went out and they played a more attacking style of football, which was great to see as well. And they tried to get their scores in. And to be fair, Niamh Higgs got a penalty and she came away with 1-2. Kate McLennan, great big player, scored a couple of points, tagged on points. And Skelly from midfield and Leach also got a few points as well. So, you know, they made the best of the game and they went out with nothing to lose. And they threw it at Termin, which was great. And they never give up. They never stopped playing, you know. But, I mean, Termin just, you know, eased into the game at the very, very start, continued the same momentum in the second half, and it was really good football to watch. And I have to admit, like, the Termin team that are there now at the minute, they're a very good side. They should really be pushing on now to try and go on and give Ulster a great crack, Brendan, because that's at the level they're at. And possibly maybe the downfall is that they haven't played enough hard games maybe in the county to do that.
That is the downfall. But just reflecting on that performance yesterday, and suppose, with me, Termin hat off, and you know your analysis on it. The runs that was being created by the right half back, the left half back, the centre half back from Termin was just ferocious, Brendan, because they were coming in waves.
Yeah.
And if you did set up defensive, you'd have trouble trying to curtail what was coming, because what was coming was very, very quick. Holding in possession. The first score Jody McFadden scored against the Breeze, you wouldn't find a better score all weekend, I think, you know. So the level of possession, the level of runs, and I think just speaking to the girls after the game, the level of athleticism was on that side. Maybe not there last year. Maybe that's something they did notice and You know, the lads who manage the Terriman Ladies, of course, they brought in Paddy Butchmick this year, Brian Charity as well, and also Nicole. And from every interview that they did, I think, Mo, you'll back me up on this one as well. It was all about getting themselves seriously, seriously fit, you know, and you could see that yesterday. Just the intent straight away was there, was back. I seen a big difference in that Terriman team from when I seen them last year to seen them this year. You seen them in the league, they were, you know, they were going through, maybe not going through the gears, but they were doing hard training in the background.
Mm. And we had this conversation, you've touched on it there last week, just about football in general, that if you go out with a style that's defence first, you know, you're only ever going to get so far, and it's having that bravery to work on it. So in many ways, as you said, even though it looks like a trouncing for Mayville, they'll learn a bit from it in terms of, we're going to play a certain way, we're going to stick to it and get better at it. And it could take a couple of years, particularly obviously against a team of Terriman's abilities. But, you know, if you're going to improve, you have to improve through attack and play. You can't just go counter.
Absolutely, Brendan, and that's why my hat's off to Mobile. You know, they really did go for it. Like, and as I said to you, we did speak about that. Like, you know, it's time now that the team's, you know, lost this fear. I think the defensive route of play and style of play comes very much from just getting over the line, you know, holding teams to a score and possibly, like, it's very fear-based coming from the top, I feel, from a management perspective down. It's a fear-based, whereas, like, you know, it's a last strategy that has seemed to lingered on there now, and it's filtered into the ladies' game, where you just park 15 behind the ball and you hope that you're fast enough on the counter-attack to get a score or two. But, like, it has probably taken away from the skill level, the ability and the just excitement of a game and going to watch a game. And for the first time yesterday, like as Parik said there, like they were coming off the shoulder, the passing was on key, you know, the speed, the fitness levels were top class, and every player in the field knew where every other player was. And it wasn't just let's get the ball into Geraldine, it was everybody like working as a team unit, driving forward together. And maybe coming back in waves then as well and doing that little bit, getting your hand on here and getting your hand in there and forwards working. And I also seen it, you know, I seen it in some of the other games, the earlier games as well. The Ardra defence, you know, they were very, very good and very clinical in the first half. And they were really working hard. The six forwards up front were really, really working hard when the ball was turned over and when Dunlow were coming out of defence. Their forwards were working hard. And you used to see that in the game before, it was all 15 behind a ball, and it was really good to watch, you know. So hats off to some of the players yesterday and some of the, maybe even at management level, for saying let's go out and attack, you know, rather than defend all day.
Yeah, indeed, and certainly they'll fly the flag well in Ulster up against the Tyrone champions. We wish Terriman all the best. I think they can real rattle at that competition. Mo, the Dunlow story, you know, we've spoken about them so much. Ardra, what a game that was, particularly from the game of two halves. And this Dunlow juggernaut seems no signs of slowing down, just out of junior champions. Now they're intermediate up to senior. It's some story.
Yeah, it's a serious turnaround, you know, for them, having been in junior, like winning the junior last year and competing well in Ulster, to be fair, went all the way to the Ulster final. And like, I've no doubt they're looking forward to getting back into Ulster again now this year. Obviously a step up to intermediate level, but they will have felt that they left it behind them last year in the junior final. And, you know, since then they've went to strength to strength. And look, they will only improve now because they're playing Division One football, which means they're going to improve. And they're also, you know, they're up from intermediate into the senior championship, and they'll be there, you know, for the foreseeable. So, you know, it's a matter of just having the girls that you have now. And look, I always speak about it, but the underage levels, what they're doing at underage to bring these players forward, the messages that they're giving them, the training structures, the being at training, that's so important to filter into a player, especially if you want to play at senior level. You must be out training. You must be out training the numbers. And that's evident when you look at the style of play that Terriman were able to, you know, take to the field yesterday. They're training in numbers. They're training together. It's very serious. And when you are playing senior football and you're looking to win senior, maybe Ulster finals and stuff like that, you must get it right at underage level. You must get it right at management level as well. And you must be putting in the hard work. It doesn't come, Terriman. You know, we weren't a club that were always successful. you know, and despite, you know, we've 9 titles there now, Brendan, like, Unions were always the big team. They were always big in numbers out of training. They were always the ones to beat. Termin now are the ones to beat. It's not going to last. Somebody else will take our place in the future, because that's what football is and that's the way it goes. And if you've got the commitment levels and the will to win, and the bunch of girls out there that, you know, or any team that is willing to put on the hard work that it takes to win these senior county champs, you will bridge that gap. You know, Nivora are up now, Dunlow are up, and a fantastic team to be up onto senior level. They had a great game yesterday, probably one of the most exciting games there. Tony Boyle's their manager. Look, he's very... Tony Boyle knows a lot about football, as you well know. It's good to see people like him in, because the ladies need that, to be fair. They need somebody who knows what they're doing in there to bring them on. There were 7 points down at the break, Brendan. That didn't stop them. It is cliche to say it was a game of two halves, but the break did them the world of good, because it broke Ardra's momentum. If Ardra had continued on for 60 minutes, they probably would have won that game, because Dunno just couldn't get it together in the first half. And then when they come out in the second half, they were a different team. But again, it was the underage players that he called from. His substitutions were very good. Took 2 underage players from the bench. 1 Mia O'Donnell. She scored one. I think she scored 1-3 in 20 minutes, and they only went ahead for the first time in the game in the 24th minute. So that just goes to show you, and they prevented our draft from scoring in the second half. But that happened in a division, I think it was an under-18 game the year before, where there were 7 points down, and they did the same thing. They come back and beat them as well. So
shows a lot of courage, though. I suppose it's another side to it, that fairness to our draw, you know, in terms of the brilliant first half that they played. Yeah, for out of 1-8 for subs, you come on, like Mia O'Donnell, and hitting 1-3. I mean, I was texting Tony today. I didn't get a proper chat to him. He just sent me a picture of the black stuff. He was sitting with a foot up there, and he was enjoying himself, and rightly so. So I'll have to get his tactical approach on it. Well, he'll be taking the credit for that one. But listen, him and his girls there are a big backbone of that team. But, well, that step up now, of course, Ulster first. Experience, I suppose, in Ulster will be vital for this Dunlow team in terms of getting into the senior championship as well in Donegal next year.
Yeah, listen, any of these games now in Ulster, as you well know, when you step into Ulster in the men's, it's different. Like, you know, I heard you talking, it's all about the one, and it is all about the one. And look, you can be very lucky and get a good draw, you know, as well, that'll bring you all the way. But, you know, myself and Roisin Friel were chatting earlier, like, it doesn't really matter about the draw, because if you want to win Ulster, you're going to have to beat the best that's there. And unless somebody else knocks them out. Like, Dunamoyne are out of the senior this year, which leaves it open. But Clanairn's in there, you know. And look, Termin have a possibility after winning against Tyrone, the Tyrone champions, a home game next. But they have a possibility of coming up against Clanairn then in the semi-final. Like, you know, and look, Dunno's the same. Look, they're at home for their next game in Ulster. You know, it's going to be a big game for them, and probably a big crowd, and it's great to bring it back into the county as well. That's intermediate and senior Ulster quarterfinals and Donegal, so it'll bring out the crowds, and it's great to see as well. Downing's, unfortunately, you know, they have to travel away. I think they play the Cavan champions, Butler's Bridge, so they're drawn away in the quarterfinals. But listen, again, Downies will be looking for a crack in Ulster now, and that will improve their chances as well. And every game under your belt like that, every tough game is a learning curve regardless. And it's if you can learn from the lessons and take them forward and take them back into your own county championship. That's what we want. We want to bridge the gap up at, like, really what I would like to see in the next maybe 10 years and Donegal is that the senior championship is very competitive, not just among one or two or three teams, which it has been over the last decade, but among maybe all 8 teams or 10 teams that come into the senior championship. I think that there is really the aim for ladies football, you know, within the county. And it's going that way. It is taking huge jumps over the last while. And that's because of, you know, the commitment of players and the commitments of managers and the trainings and the underage development. Like, listen, I hope it long may it last, because that's what it's all about, bridging the gap.
Bridging the gap is right. Oh, listen, we wish Downing's all the best. Yeah, a big 6-12 Shannon McGrady hitting 2-3 of that player of the match in the game. And listen, 3 teams, I think, going into Ulster, and I think they'll represent the county really well. Hats off to the 3 as well done.
And just a shout out there as well to, like, Niamh Patrick, who played Downies. Like, they're only established since 2020, you know, and out into Junior A final. Like, you know, some of these clubs are only coming on the up. Like, and it's great to see as well.
You think about those clubs, obviously, Niamh Patrick's men in the junior final, obviously Downing's men doing well this season, you know, Dunlow only just pipped them and they qualified out of the group. So, listen, it looks the same way at Dunlow, you know, a lot of good things happening, a lot of clubs. We have to, of course, we're going to talk about the determined men in the intermediate final. So, you know, a lot of things happening at the clubs across the board, and that's the promotion of the games. That's what we talk about every night here. Fantastic to see. Mo, thanks for the wrap-up, as ever.
No problem.
I just want to compliment Mo. You want to see your handwriting, Brendan? You know, me and you scribble away, but Mo had pages and pages. Ah, yeah.
But this was the
I was under pressure yesterday. I was working all day, right the clock.
She was busy yesterday.
Neat.
Very neat.
She's a professional, me and you. Listen.
Professional or a perfectionist? I don't know.
Good, hey, there's only one professional here. It's Joe Dex here. He's keeping us on.
He's top drawer.
Mo, thanks a mile for that.
No bother.
We'll talk
Cheers,
to you soon.
Mo. Thank you.
See
you later, boys.
Thanks, Mo. That's Mo round up the ladies.
Great day
fans.
Yesterday at Donald Park, Brennan. Yeah. It was a great atmosphere as well.
Listen, I'm not going to do with unions, but there is something nice about the park. Listen, I love Balbuffet in it, but I don't know.
You're right. And
maybe
I'm not,
it's because it's just down the road.
It's down the road for me too, but no, it was great because the crowd's on top of you and you can...
It can handle, I suppose, a smaller crowd is maybe more in that stand, creates me a bit more of an atmosphere.
It definitely does now.
I don't know, I get that.
And I have to say, the grounds being yesterday, the pitch was in brilliant condition. I was out refereeing one of those games as well with the wee girls and didn't have to put on the boots, so that was good, Brendan. Did it in the runners.
100%. We have two men waiting here, Ryan Ferry and Stephen Cassidy. We're going to talk about the men's football from the weekend, the semis, and of course, a look ahead to the junior and intermediate finals after this break. Yes, folks, now we're back. We're taking it up, first of all, with the senior. We just mentioned the park there, obviously, with the relegation. Playoff games as well. We'll be mentioning them in a minute. Ryan Ferry from the Donegal News joins us. Stephen Cassidy was in the meeting room there. He seems to have dropped out.
Is that the first meeting he didn't make now? Eh?
He seems to have fallen out of it. He's having a few communication difficulties. Maybe we'll get him on again. But first up, Ryan, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How's all of you?
Busy time for you, press man, boy. You're here, there and everywhere.
Ah, yeah, it was a busy weekend, but sure, it's coming to the business end now, Brendan. You've got to be out.
And what, do you book a holiday after this championship just to relax again? Or what, does the Donegal News send you away somewhere to recuperate?
Ah, yeah, maybe Lanzarote or somewhere like that. A wee bit of sun now to get on the bones.
Be nice. Ryan, listen, we're just talking there, the Unions Gidor game, what did you make of the fair Saturday evening?
Well, I seen you after the game, Brendan. Now you had a nervous enough look on your face, and say you were happy to scrape through it. I suppose, you know, I seen your buddy Parkinson giving out about the scores on Twitter today, Brendan. You know, probably the two semi-finals, not usually high scoring, and maybe the quality not always there. But you know, two very dramatic finishes to it, and you know, the Saturdays. Saturday's finale, you know, Darragh Whale standing over a free. You know, he had kicked a beauty a couple of minutes before it. You were wondering, was he going to send the game to extra time? And, you know, it's hard to tell from the press box, but it didn't look like it was that far wide. And, you know, thanks to Newlands, probably were the better team on the day. And, but, you know, they made hard work of it. And I think there's probably more to come from that St. Newlands team.
Yeah. What did you make, Parry?
I pretty much, like, it was one of those games where Unions went in as favourites, and that would have really something that Gidor would have really liked, because you know Gidor they're not easy beaten in semi-finals. And look, I would say as Ryan has indicated, St. Unions a lot done, more to do. There's I suppose it was always going to be one of those games. Gidor would have took good belief out of that victory in O'Donnell Park, going in against St. Unions, I suppose. You just knew that, Brendan, by all accounts. And as I say, look, that shot could have, would have, should have.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a tight affair. Couple of decisions, maybe I felt Gidor in an odd time. That, you know, from a refing point of view, I don't know, Ryan, what your opinion on that was. Was there a couple of dubious frees given to either side? It was a tough game to ref.
Yeah,
it was a tough game to ref. I know the Gidor management were unhappy at the full-time whistle. Not quite sure what their complaints were. You know, I know there was an Owen Doyle free that was close to maybe going wide, but from where I my vantage point, it looked like it went over the bar. You know, look,
I think that was it. Right, you know, I think it was that kick that they were complaining about.
Yeah, there was a couple of decisions, but you know, like at that stage of a championship game in a semi final, you know, down the line, every decision's going to be hotly contested, and you know, people are not going to be happy. Like to me, probably looking at it, I didn't think there was any major calls in it. You know, now other people are saying that maybe they thought that Guido Orr got the wrong end of it. You know, I'm not so sure. I thought it was a tight game, and you know, it went down to the wire, and it just went St Union's way in the end up.
Funny, Brian, you know, people always say it's all about winning and this and that, but I think you could tell from my face, it actually wasn't all about winning for us. At the weekend, you know, because we knew we didn't play.
It was the performance, was it?
Well, it's kind of, I think with Unions there, we're just noticing, like, obviously a lot of teams set up a certain way against us. And when you don't kind of reach your own standards, we have a problem with that inside. So even though we'd won the match, the semi-final, honestly, it was a strange dressing room after the match. And yeah, listen, I look back at that free round quite a few times. It looks like it just about, if there was a post high enough, it probably would have hit it and went in. So it was a very difficult one to call now. But listen, even Dara's free at the end there, the way he strikes the ball there, you know, I mean, he hit an unbelievable free out in the park from the left hand side against the breeze that day. And I think when you hit a ball like that, the way he strikes across it, there's a chance that it's not like a placed free kicker would normally hit a ball a certain way. When you strike it like that, there's always a chance it could just arc off a wee bit only. But certainly at that point, that's from a Unions perspective, the way we had played in the second half, listen, you wouldn't have been looking forward to extra time, let's be honest about it. And probably with Unions there, we're seeing, you know, the last few games, first half, you know, a lot better played in the second half. And the game's getting a bit disjointed, you know. We seem to be, you know, not in our groove. And I think, you know, in low-scoring games like that there, you know, you really got to get back to basics. And I think that's the big thing for Unions going into this final.
Is that not a thing, I suppose, from a manager's point of view? It's a great way to go into a final, you know?
Yeah, funny. We have joked about that in terms of, listen, if you want to play bad in the semi, that was the old question. It was like Donegal and Mayo, remember, in 92. we're chatting with Tony.
Terrible.
Absolutely terrible performance, yeah. But listen, I think just for probably what's in that Unions team, for what we've seen yet, we've only probably seen proper glimpses of it. So, listen, you know, you're in there one season with you know, and Barry, obviously, Sharks and Dalton, and you know, you're trying things and working on things. And so, you know, you have this thing as well with so many county players out in that and people coming back. And when you really, really focus in, championship comes very fast then. And it's a matter of
Something that you feel that, I suppose, Brendan, you as a coach now, you see the games coming thick and fast. And I know it was Brendan and John Gilday said last week, like it was, you know, week after week, and then you're into a semi final. Was it hard to actually?
It's difficult because we played, but like everybody else, I mean, we're all looking for pitches last week there. I know Peter Canavan's flying up in Canavan's there, up in Tyrone. He's feeding us all. Like the Tyrone lads was up the Kilcare lads. We ran into the Kilcare lads up in Canavan's 2 weeks ago. So, you know, players, all teams now have players all over the place. So particularly now when it gets into this period, I think particularly with ourselves, you know, a few school teachers and different people are about during the summer. And it probably worked well, but once we get on the back to school time and people are going back to college and that, you have a different way of, you're going to have to meet up somewhere and train. So, but listen, there is a wee bit of something special about that as well when you're away off training for a night. It's a bit of a spin for guys coming here and there.
It's the time of year, Ryan. I suppose reflecting on that as well, do you think, suppose, going into the semis, we could have given both Ghidorah and St Unions and alone St Michael's another week or so?
Well, I definitely think, considering the teams aren't out in Ulster, I think November the 3rd, and as Brendan will be telling us, he hasn't looked ahead to the Ulster draw, Park, and I wouldn't believe him, but, you know...
Piling the pressure on straight away, Ryan.
Come you down to Dunlow next week, we're on about heading down there, you can say that, right? I'll go down
Yeah.
But you know, like I think Donegal are in the preliminary round, and I think it's November the 3rd. So you know, the finals of October 13th is there a weekend there? I would think there is. You know, but look, it is what it is. And you know, I know people are saying, Brendan saying there's St Union's, you know, maybe not going as well, but there's some glory in the ugly 1.1s as well. Like, and in fairness to St Union's, you know, these are the games they probably haven't been winning over the last couple of years. You know, in the slogfest, it was always Niamh Connell who seemed to be able to come out on top. And, you know, St Union's have won the last two games and by a point. And even if you think of, you know, their league football, you know, St Union's rarely get tough tests in league football. In the group phase, it's not that competitive. So, you know, I think the fact that they are coming through with narrow victories, I think it's making them battle-hardened. And, you know, as you say, there's probably more in them. You know, they kind of sat off the Guido kick-out. You know, I would expect them to press up on the Dunlow kick-out in the final, and maybe we'll see a different approach. But it'll be interesting. I would be interested, Pádraig, in the St Union's management team after beating Niamh Connell and three or four changes coming after that. Like, it'll definitely have Dunlow thinking about what the starting lineup's going to be for the final anyway.
Yeah, got to keep it thinking. Before we mention the Dunlow game, what a weekend they had. Stephen Cass, we've got you there in the line at last. How's things, sir?
Good to be good. Sorry about that, pal. A wee bit of a connection trouble there.
Ah, no worries. Sometimes you got to pay the old, direct debit there to the internet company. Hey, don't be stuffing them. Hey, Cass, tell me, just from the Guido perspective, lad, you know, it's been a no county final last year. The lad's certainly building something this year. They beat Unions twice previous going into the game. Were you expecting a victory, Cass? And what was the feeling from Guido going into the game?
I had to be, if I was honest, my head was seeing Unions. My heart was obviously seeing Guido. And listen, Unions were probably a wee bit afraid of Guido because, as you know, big guy, I mean, you come up a couple of times and it was a wee bit of a bogey team. I was actually worried about throwing Masters in the quarterfinal. I was up with it. And it was sticky. Right to the, you know, it was sticky. Guido just showed that wee bit of experience at the end, you know, throwing Masters being young. And I think maybe Unions were a wee bit nervous because Guido's got that one over them the odd time when they come up against each other, as they did, you know, in the group stages in the Donald Park, which is tough to be, but I just fancied Unions, I think. I thought maybe, hey, listen, both teams, shooting boots, forwards to be. We probably need to get you back, kid, in that Unions squad, because and a couple of boys back in the door squad, the old dog's doing a bit of shooting, because forward, listen, I know it's a game nowadays, and it's hard times to watch it, and maybe I couldn't play to be in the current game, because I was a lazy forward and I just wanted to stay inside and cheat and make those wee sneaky runs. But forward nowadays, maybe, I don't know what you call it. I just think it's 1-15 and they're all robots, they're all machines. So we're looking for scores, we're looking for guys that will come up and win games, and it's not really happening. It's the team that's going to grind it out, you know, and maybe be that wee bit of cuteness and that wee bit of smartness in the ball, and maybe dispossession is really, really. I've seen Michael's in the no game and hitting the tackles at the right time. There's a lot of very bad tackling and bad fouls going on. See one's been on that still to get it right. Listen, Davey, I just think Unions, I fancy Unions this year, I do. Yeah. And I just think Guido probably were up against it. You know, Guido are young and Guido will come again. They'll definitely come back again, you know.
Yeah, and listen, missing loads of players as well, Cass. And, you know, the defences were obviously definitely on top, and that seems to be the way of it at the minute. Could have done me a Stevie Cass County Final goal special, maybe they later up. That would have been
one of those.
Well, you know what, Davey? It was 2 points, yeah, it was 2 points. It was back to a point, it was back to 2 points. And I thought, a goal's a big one, but goals are hard to come by in this. The way things are going in the current championship format, it's hard to come by. As you say, the defences, the blanket defensive systems. So I don't think you'll be seeing many more of those goals, Davey, unless it's something from the halfway line that a Darrell Breel job catches the keeper off the line, you know.
Yeah,
I was hoping for one of them. I was hoping Patton would have come up, you know.
We were weary of that one, I'll be honest, guys. He's good at that. There was a 1-1 save, Sean Patton, Ryan, which was a massive moment in the match. There was 2 points in it. You know, I think there was only like maybe minutes to go. A huge save by Patton to his near side there, cutting in from the right. I can't remember who took the shot.
Yeah, it was Cahill Gillespie that took the shot. And, you know, I think in fairness, fair play to him for going for it because, you know, he was coming in from the angle. Would have been very easy to fist it over, but, you know, he went for it. And I think Guido probably would have needed a goal to win the game. So, you know, it was a great save. And, you know, the follow-up 45 went wide as well. Like, you know, so, you know, Patton, I think Patton's been very good in the last couple of games. Like, you know, really solid under the high ball and stuff like that, Brendan. And, you know, and as always, you know, when Goodore had the big press on later on, he was able to find Kieran Moore with a big kick out as well. Like, you know, so... your goalkeeper definitely did his business.
Yeah, certainly did. Yeah, that's St Union's through the final. Cass, Dunloe, your neighbours. It's only a couple of seasons ago they won the intermediate, and now they're up in a senior final. It's been some story from them this season.
It's crazy to be when you look at another good young side up and coming. I mean, they'd all got that final last year, and Dunloe were probably the team that gave them the best game. They put them to the pin of their car, you know. And a real tight battle, and I think they all come out with 1 point. Listen, when you look at the Dunloe teams I played against, I think we might beat them in a, I don't know, it's a quarter final or a semi final to get to one of our county finals. And I mean, you were talking Tony Boyle and Raymond and Eddie, all the boys you played with Devine, we played with our time, and they never got to that final, which is crazy. I mean, you're looking at this young squad, Devine, they're going with no fear. And the only thing I would say, I was talking to one of the Dunloe lads actually by a text message, I kind of work alongside him, with Dara Geller, and I said to Dara, I said, I'm delighted for you. I said, it's a great big day out. Really soak it up now, go and enjoy it. Maybe the young boys give you a go away, but, you know, no fear. And I said to him, I said, listen, you know, they're big, big favourites. And I'd fancy them, I would, Brendan. But on the day, Davy, you just don't know. And I keep saying it, Davy, I've always wound you up. Sometimes you get the townie in the big day, the wee parish might just come out on top, you know.
We would just love to see. I'm only winding you up.
You're grand, kid. You're grand. Hey, that's all part of it. That's part of it. Ryan, what did you make of the affair on yesterday in terms of the Dunloe efficiency versus St Michael's? It certainly was. We're chatting, Stephen, just chatting about forwards and that. You know, that came down to shooting boots again.
Yeah, it did. Like, and you know, probably for 40-odd minutes, you were thinking Dunloe were looking very good. And then, you know, St Michael's put a big squeeze in the kickouts and they just couldn't seem to get their hands on the ball. And, you know, St Michael's had loads of chances in that last 15, 20 minutes. I think they ended up with 9 wides in the second half, did another couple drop short. And, you know, some of them, when they look back on it, they'll feel they should have had over the bar, definitely. And, you know, Daniel McLaughlin smacked the shot off the post as well. And, you know, it was just one of those days. You know, they'll probably be gutted today, you know, but in fairness, like I've seen a lot of Dunloe in this championship, and, you know, they leave it all out on the pitch. You know, they're really tough. They're physically hard hitting, and probably, you know, we're able to create those scoring opportunities just that wee bit easier than St Michael's were over the day. But, you know, probably from a Dunloe perspective, you know, they gave away, I think, you know, maybe, was it 7 frees St Michael scored, and, you know, they had a couple of others that they missed as well. So, as Stephen was saying, you know, the tidying or the tackling will have to be tidied up. But, yeah, like a great, great win for Dunloe. And there were brilliant scenes at the end of the match. And, you know, I know Darren Curran straight away was saying there was another game to go. Like, you know, but, you know, you got to live in the here and the now at times as well. And, you know, to see people with tears in their eyes for Dunloe to be in their first final in 60 years, like, you. It was pretty great on the pitch after the match, in fairness.
And just looking at that Dunloe side, Ryan, suppose you look at a number of the players, specifically in their defence. You know, you look at Danny Rogers in goals. You've got Mark Curran, you've Karen McGee, you've Darren Curran there as well. You've Ryan Connors midfield. From the goalkeeper out, they're really, really solid side. And suppose when you go back and you see how far they've come over the last number of years, in 2022 they won the intermediate. The conditioning those guys have done over the last number of years, and just reflective of that, as you look at their league campaign this year, they started off slow, sluggish, maybe with one eye on the championship.
Yeah, I think they probably did, and you know, maybe when the first couple of league games didn't go to plan, it was all about just gearing up for the championship then, and giving it a rattle. I think there's a couple of things about it, Pádraig. You know, probably there was initial signs last year, you know, particularly the Gwydor games. And, you know, they did well. You got to remember Danny Rogers was in Australia for most of the championship. They were playing without him. They had probably a bit of a, a wee issue with discipline last year that a couple of men sent off in the championship. Seemed to have cleared that up a bit. So, you know, there's you know, wee gains made there all the way. Connor Green back from Australia is a big, big help too. Like, he probably didn't have his greatest game yesterday, but he's a real handful at full forward. And, you know, they've a lot of lads of a great age profile, this Dunlow team, and, you know, a lot of lads in their mid-20s. I was actually looking back in the archive today, and in 2013, they won the Under-16 A Championship with six of these Dunlow lads playing in the team. And won't want to tell Brendan who they beat in the final in Terman, but a very good result that day for Dunlow. And, you know, they've a couple of young players in. Carl McGee, I thought, was fantastic yesterday. Aaron Ward has done really well at full back, and, you know, you've got to hand it to them. You know, I don't think many people expected them to get here at the start of the year, but, you know, they keep talking. They were talking away after the match yesterday about game 7, and now they're on to game 8.
Well, suppose as we head back down to the Rosses, so, well, he's not in the Rosses, but he's away in Hollies at the moment, is Stephen Cassidy. No doubt, Stephen, you're going to be supporting your near neighbours.
Of course.
The big question is, Stephen, suppose, can they turn over St Unions?
I'd never say never. Honestly, I mean, going back to our two finals, we were definite underdogs against Unions. Unions will always be the favourites. The Unions are the big pick. You know, they have a big, big squad. And listen, there's some serious, serious talent. We looked at Unions there against Niamh Connell. And I fancy Niamh Connell because of what they've been, the juggernaut that's been coming. And I just think Unions learned a lot about them. I know DeVee came in intentionally to try and stop this type of defensive football, and he's adding his wee bit of spice in there. But listen, I don't think Dunlow will be afraid, boys. Honestly, don't. You got one crack at this. You got one shot at this. As you said, they want a game 7, now game 8. They've got to go. They've got to give it everything. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't write them off. I don't think it would be... Listen, head against probably St Unions, but not by much. I think it's going to be very, very tight, lads. And the reason I'm probably shooting from a close neighbour there is I know a lot of the lads well, but if any, I don't want to use topping. I think we're still tied in the most county titles, so I want to keep that, you know. I want to keep the door at the top of the ladder, you know.
There's always a way around. Just speaking about that aspect of Dunlow, there's going to be some hype down there in the next fortnight leading into the final, Ryan.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic for Dunlow. Like, and you know, their ladies team has done very well. You know, they had a great run with an intermediate a couple of years ago. So, you know, the red and white bunting hasn't been far away, you know, but this is going to be different, and it is going to be, like, I'm sure there'll be people booking flights from all over to come back for it, I would imagine. Like, it's going to be a great occasion. And, you know, St Unions as well, like, obviously they've been there, you know, more frequently in recent times, you know, but it's, you know, they didn't get to the final last year. You know, I think there's an awareness in Letterkenny that they've a strong team, and, you know, they'll really be looking forward to it as well. And but you know, probably St Unions will probably know that most of the county will be supporting the underdogs, you know, but that's just another challenge they'll have to meet on the day. And, you know, it's I'm really looking forward to the build up to it. I think it's going to be a good county final.
Yeah, and I suppose, Brendan, from your point of view as well, it is that aspect. You weren't there last year, and suppose coming in to right a couple of those wrongs.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, look, you're just trying to get lads up to where, as we spoke from the start, you know, just letting lads express themselves, let their ability take over, you know. You have to set up the team a certain way. That's just modern football. You want players to be free to express themselves in that. And as the lads touched on there, there's an abundance of talent there, and it's about getting them in the position where they can let it go and express it in that. And I suppose the opposition is always trying to shut that down, and I think that's where we're at the minute, is trying to figure out ways of releasing that talent. So, listen, I haven't watched them over the last couple of years. Obviously, I was down at their dinner dance last year. I don't know if they'll invite me this year or not, but I was down there last year. They're a great bunch, like, great club.
Oh, fantastic.
I was impressed with them last year, and the times I'd seen them, you know, they're kicking the ball and what they were doing and that. And so, listen, it's a novel pair, and what it does for clubs around Donegal, if you look, like, coming from intermediate, you said a couple of years ago, I mean, if you get your house in order, and as you said, your S&C and a plan together, and everybody buys in and sticks it, and Warren Moe was saying earlier, you know, if you go... This can be your reward. Tough in St Michael's now. It's a serious amount of semi-finals have lost. But listen, looking forward to the big game, and we'll preview it obviously next week. Probably could be a bit of noise in the low.
Gives clubs like myself and Ryan and people like that a wee bit of hope when you hear these stories. Ryan, suppose I'm going back to you. We know in our area what it's like to get a bit of success, but obviously it's good to hear of a new name in a county final.
Oh, it's great. I think you can't stress that fact enough that Brendan's making there about what it'll do for other teams. And, you know, like, there's a lot of chat about seeding and stuff and the fact it's an open draw in the quarter final, but like, it really opens the thing up. And, you know, like, there are a lot of people saying that there's the 16 teams is too many. Well, like, St Michael's were 13th in the groups after the group stage last year, and Dunloe were 11th, and they both end up in the semi-finals. I still feel that 16 teams, there's just a better balance to it. You know, maybe you can tweak the championship some way or other, but I still think probably 16 teams works well. And yeah, you know, I suppose the big question, Parik, is whether your Termin boys are going to be in it next year.
That is the one. Right, listen, we better get on to it. You know, we had a couple of, obviously, relegation playoffs in Burt, surviving an intermediate. They found their shooting boots, 2-10-5 against Letterkenny Gales. And Clonmacnoise, it's been a tough season for them, and it ended with St. Noel's relegating them. And that's a good victory for St. Noel's, obviously. Tough time at the minute, Cass. I suppose the two teams either side of you there are having mixed fortunes there. Clonmacnoise getting relegated, Stephen.
Do you know what, Brendan? I would know. It's one of the Clonmacnoise lads plays soccer for me. And he's put in a big shift this year. More than he thought he would do. He thought he'd maybe play a bit part. He's getting on a wee bit. Darren Ferry, actually a good lad. And Darren said to me, Stephen, I've never seen us as crippled with so many players just emigrating and heading off. And it's tough, Brendan, it really is. And it's hard for, you know, the small parishes to deal with that. We're all going through it. You know, Unions go through it, Godore goes through it, Termin goes through it, but I think Clonmacnoise were really hit very hard with that this year, and had a bad couple of results. So I'd say it's going back down the level, rebuild, maybe look at Dunloe and just take that wee bit of ideas and go, boys, this has to be a different level now. And I know they've got a couple of very good, is it a 14, 16 side? They've got a couple of good youth teams coming through there, Clonmacnoise. So listen, they'll come back to the table again, you know.
Yeah, certainly. And Ryan, just obviously, Parks waving away at his maroon and white flag here. Termin, Niamh Columba, and Niamh Padraig, Cairn Donagh. Ryan, I can't wait for these games. You know, really excited about them. You know, following these teams all throughout the championship. You know, it certainly seems like to me that you couldn't have picked a better final in both grades.
Yeah, we should have two good finals. Like, it's it'll be interesting in intermediate. You know, Termin beat Niamh Columba quite handy at the start of the championship at the Burn Road. But they did the same last year against Downins. And then when the pressure came and the big knockout game, you know, Downins got the revenge. Is the same going to happen this time around for Niamh Columba? I suppose the big thing for Niamh Columba is that they've lost Philip Doherty, the county panellist, to a cruciate injury. And that is a huge, huge blow, because he's, you know, I've seen him play a couple of times this year. He's a real driving force for the team. And, you know, he was probably going to have to pick up Enda McCormick or Darren McDade. So, you know, it's a real blow that he's not going to be there. And, you know, Termin, I know they've a young team. They've lost some big games in intermediate and under 21 in recent years. And, you know, it's on their shoulders a wee bit. If they win this weekend, it'll probably all be forgotten about. They'll go on the senior championship, and I would have no doubt that they will find their feet there. But, you know, it's getting over the line. Niamh Columba, tough players, you know, likes of Eric Carr, Aaron Doherty, Kevin McNairn, they're going to give it their all. But, you know, I probably feel it's going to be Termin's time.
Yeah. And then the other one, of course, the goal machine, Niamh Padraig Murphy against Cairn Donagh. That's a difficult one to call. You know, Cairn Donagh looked like a maybe more balanced team, but the goal threat of Niamh Padraig means that anything can happen, Ryan.
Yeah, really hard game to call, you know, in the sense that Cairn Donagh really haven't had a lot of tests this year. You know, they came through Division 3 without Conor Donnell quite easily, you know, right through the group, even against Convoy in the semi-final, not really troubled. Whereas, you know, Niamh Padraig, Ishka Keane have had a very different season. You know, they were up in Division 2. They had some great results in Division 2, stayed up well. You know, they drew with Four Masters at the start of the year. They beat Ardra, you know. So, you know, and then they had a big slip up against Niamh Olton and Duncan Ealy in the group phase. They were well beaten, but they seem to have bounced back well from that. Will we see Keelan McColgan against Conor Donnell, or will that battle come to play? I don't know, but I just have a feeling that the year in Division 2 has made Niamh Padraig battle hardened, and I think that might give them the edge in the final.
Yes, indeed. And you concur with that, Parik?
I do, yeah. I suppose all will be revealed, but finals throw up different scenarios. And
that's just what Stevie Cass was saying. And Cass is never far wrong, let me tell you.
No, I've been listening to him.
It's hard not to listen to him, but you're talking when you're in the room. Is right, Cass?
Don't be listening. Yeah, you're right, Davey.
Folks, listen, what a brilliant wrap-up. Lads, I want to thank you so much. Mo earlier, and of course, Ryan Ferry of Donegal News. My man, Parik Helfrey, in here, and Stephen Cass, wherever you are in the world, you're probably having a wee San Miguel there. You enjoy yourself. The Monday night sessions is coming up here now, lads. Stay tuned for that, and we'll do the county final.
Ryan Ferry, don't forget Ryan as well. Yeah.
Next week, Ryan Ferry, did I mention him?
Maybe I did.
I don't know. It's been a long day. Listen, we're going to obviously cover the intermediate junior finals next week and a build up to the big one, the senior final. Lads, thanks very much. I'll speak to you all next week.
Thanks, baby. Welcome. Bye-bye. The DL debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app.